Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Ben Radford is now, ladies and gentlemen, going to tell us what's going on. We wait with bated breath. Go ahead, please, Ben.
What's going on?
Let's get that bait out of my breath.
What time it is, right? No, but I mean, you know, what I was saying was that I try to bring the person in with me to help me understand what's going on. And so instead of me approaching mysteries from a top-down, know-it-all, skeptical, dismissive point of view, I try and genuinely investigate and make it clear to the people that are telling me this that I'm not making fun of them. I'm not mocking them. I'm sincerely interested in what their experience was. I may not share their assumption of what the explanation is, right? They may assume it's a ghost. They may assume it's a lake monster. They may assume it must be psychic powers, what have you. So I don't necessarily share their explanation, but I'll say, look, you know, let's figure this out. Let's look at possible alternative explanations. And because of that, oftentimes I get more respect and I get people who they recognize, yeah, he's a skeptic. Yeah, he's approaching this from this point of view, but they recognize that I'm genuinely trying to understand what happened, solve the mystery. And because of that, I am okay with telling somebody, I don't know. Again, it's not always possible to solve all mysteries. Sometimes there's not enough information. And so, you know, to get back to the question, I try and say, okay, well, given the information I have here, do we have photographs? Do we have other witnesses? Do we have any other types of evidence? Is this just some experience you had, you know, last month, last year, 10 years ago? I don't know, whatever it is. But based on what I'm being given, here's my theories. And I'll say, look, you know, I try and begin with the most likely explanations and work downward. And I'll say, you know, so there may be times when I'll say to somebody, I can't prove there isn't a ghost in your house. That's scientifically impossible.
Okay.
You can't prove a negative.
There's a couple of things here. First of all, I got to say, we really need more skeptics like you out there. I'm not sure if CFI, is that the same as the one that's affiliated with Skeptical Inquirer, or is that a different?
No. You're right. It's a little complicated. I'll give you the thumbnail sketch. So the Center for Inquiry is an umbrella organization, and it basically has two parts to it. One part is the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry, which is formerly known as PSYCOP.
Right.
Yeah, and that's the branch that I work with, and so we do investigations into unusual claims, mysteries, things like that. The other part of the organization, which I'm perfectly happy with, but I'm just not affiliated with and I don't do anything with, is the secular humanism side. So they more deal with humanism, church-state separation, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I was just wondering because I actually, fairly recently, I actually got banned off the CFI website forum for, I mean, I wasn't even posting anything ridiculous or paranormal or anything. I just had a different view on this COVID-19 lockdown strategy, and I was posting some of the alternative points of view. It just didn't work. People, I was being accused of wanting to kill people's grandmothers, and
I don't think you want to kill anyone's grandmother. I don't know what you're talking about. I was involved in that. I didn't ban you, but just you and me.
But part two of this, I mean, I just thought I'd put that out there because, I mean, it was really so ridiculous. I'm trying to work it out with them, but it hasn't been very successful so far. But
do you have a grandmother who's still alive, Randall?
Pardon me?
What is this thing that you have about grandmothers?
Oh, this is a fetish?
What do they call that?
It's just that if, okay, well, with the whole COVID-19 pandemic, and older people, senior citizens in particular, at a much higher risk, and there were some people that had relatives that had been in hospital, and, you know, some of them had died, and they were, because of that, very, very adamant about the lockdown measures and the various other measures that have been taken to control the pandemic. And anybody that disagrees with them, you would get this very emotional backlash that if you take another perspective, that you are therefore out to cost these people their lives. And you know, these are their grandmothers and grandparents in a lot of cases because they're older and in the long-term care facilities or retirement homes where the highest risk is. So that was the attitude I was getting back. I was posting things like there was an article, The Hidden Victims of COVID-19, and it talked about people who were had died of drug overdoses and suicides being up and due to a lack of their access to their normal resources that they would use to be able to get through these. And I thought that was pretty reasonable, but, you know, being secular humanists, they'd want to look at the human cost and what else might we do. This is another side that people don't talk about, but it was just not, it just didn't get any traction at all. Anyhow, one thing led to another, and I tried to back out of it gracefully. It didn't work. So, anyhow.
Maybe it was something in the phrasing. I don't know. I find both of you to be pretty reasonable off the top of my head. So.
I do too. You know, it's of course, text-based forums, you know, people can read their own body language into that. But part two of this was when you were talking about things that investigations that you weren't able to come up with any answer for. Say if you're in ufology, when they're talking about unidentified cases there. So this is like right out of the investigative handbook. A sighting is considered unidentified when a report apparently contains all the pertinent data necessary to suggest a valid hypothesis concerning the cause or explanation of the report, but the description of the object or its motion cannot be correlated with any known object or phenomena. So in other words, I'm not talking about cases you might have gone to where you just didn't have enough information. I'm talking about, like, have you ever run into a case where you did have enough information that should have suggested a reasonable explanation, but you just still couldn't make it work?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the cases that might fit that. I don't do that much in ufology. I know some about it. It's not entirely foreign to me, and I've written on various specific cases, including Roswell, the Aztec UFO crash, alien abductions, implants, things like that. But ufology specifically is just such a rabbit hole. I have nothing but respect for the super experts like the late Phil Klass, Robert Schaefer, and others. So again, I don't do that much specifically in terms of ufology but to sort of to get to your point, I mean that's a field where the evidence is especially elusive, right? Because by definition, you're dealing with things that are not identified and that seem to defy, that appear to, they may or may not actually, but they at least appear to defy in many cases the laws of physics and so on. So it's not surprising that some of those cases would be less explicable than others because of the lack of information, right? I mean, if for example, there's a Bigfoot sighting, someone says, yeah, I was driving along the highway and there's this wooded area and there's a clearing and I saw this giant Bigfoot thing and maybe I got a quick snap of it with my phone or something. There should be evidence, right? There should be, if there really was a giant, presumably heavy, bulky, 200-300 pound unknown creature standing in soft earth or anywhere else, there should be tracks. There should be some sort of physical evidence. There should be maybe hair samples, scat samples. There should be something tangible-ish that might come from that research. On the other hand, if you're talking about something that is just seen in the sky, at an unknown distance, that's an unknown size, and then vanishes, it's very difficult to make of that much of that.
Let's make of this what you will.
Okay.
And no news block on this segment, I don't think. With Gene Randall and Dan Urin.
The Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the hope for a COVID vaccine on the rise, shifting political landscape, and the election at an end, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Stop guessing. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance. Text MONEY to 411-411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Text MONEY to 411-411 so you can protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
The reason I mentioned there was no news block after the previous segment is because of that listener who is now listening now, therefore doesn't know what we just said. I don't believe that. Ben, of course, is talking about cases that may or may not have stumped him. But there's a lot of stuff to talk about because he's talking about 70 different columns in that book. And I threw out one before, but we finished something else. I'm going to throw myself right back into it because of coronavirus and some wacky remedies, not just, of course, injecting yourself with Clorox. All right? But
yes,
phony remedies. Now, there are lots of stuff advertised on TV and radio that supposedly do different things, and then you hear at the end of it the disclaimer, well, the FDA has not approved these claims.
Right.
That should end it right there, or what?
Yeah, I mean, I always sort of roll my eyes slightly when I see, you know, these big dramatic claims, and then, as exactly you said, it ends like, if you read the fine print on the screen, it says, this product is not intended to treat, cure, or... I'm like, well then... Why are you selling it? If you're telling me that it's not intended or claimed to prevent, treat, or any illness, then why the hell do I want it?
Right. But you see, I'll raise one more thing here. You have so-called legitimate remedies, and you see these happy, smiling people, and then they give you the contraindications, medical parlance for the side effects. May cause blood clots, may cause you to die. And these people are smiling, and you think, these people want to die? Is this your last day on earth before they take this drug and they zap out for good? So I don't know about the fake remedies. I'm worried about the real ones.
Right. No, you're exactly right. I would say that, you know, looking at some of the examples in that chapter, health and medicine, probably one of the most common ones is the sort of detoxifying scam. And, that's sort of a running theme through a lot of alternative medicine, and it makes a couple appearances in my book. And that is the common claim that you often see in holistic alternative medicines, that some product or service detoxifies. Detoxifies the body, detoxifies the skin, detoxifies, take your pick.
I always wanted to detoxify, take my pick.
Whatever you want to detoxify, you can allegedly get it taken care of.
Well, what about toothpick? Can I detoxify a toothpick?
I don't see why not. Well, assuming, of course, it's toxic to begin with. And therein, my friends, lies the rub. The fact is that the body itself is not toxic. There are toxins in the body which are adequately removed through, for example, the liver and exhalation in some cases. So the idea that there is some body part or organ that needs to be detoxified is simply medically false. You don't need to apply Kenoki foot pads to the bottom of your foot to detoxify your feet. You don't need to do a lot of these things that, oh, like sweating out toxins. You can't sweat out toxins. That's not how this works. The body mostly uses sweating for heat regulation because humans are endothermic. And so the way that we cool ourselves in hot climates and elsewhere, and in fevers, for example, is through evaporation and cooling. So the human body doesn't sweat out toxins. It sweats to cool off. And now there is some tiny minuscule amount of minerals, for example, that come out naturally in sweat and urine, but that's not detoxifying.
Well, I guess it depends on how you look at that. What about, well, there's a couple of things there first, but one of the, I guess, most well-known of the kind of detoxifying treatments is chelation therapy. Is that one of these ones that would fall into the category of your concern, does it actually work?
That's not one of the topics in the book. I have not looked into, nor have I been asked to look into chelation therapy. So that is one of the many topics that I've have simply never gotten around to.
Ah, okay. Just when we were talking about cases that maybe you thought you should have been able to solve but couldn't, and you know, we kind of segued into medicine. One of the things that might be applicable there is maybe somebody's claim that they'd had a miraculous healing of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
What about that? Have you run into any situations where, say, they have doctor's records and so on? We hear about this from time to time, medical evidence, and then they go back to the doctor and they're all just fine. and nobody knows how to explain it. Have you looked into any of those cases?
I have, actually. I'm going to say maybe a half dozen or so over the years. Probably the most famous case that I looked into is mentioned in one of my books, Mysterious New Mexico. And that was a case where there's a famous chapel here in New Mexico, and it's said to have miracle dirt. And the story is that the dirt actually heals. And so pilgrims come from across the country, in some cases and around the world, to go to this this place called Chimayo, which is sort of in mid-northern New Mexico. And they will put on this miracle dirt and try and be healed from it. And so I first heard about it because I was I'd actually been on a TV show called Miracle Detectives with Indra Viscontis and I'm forgetting the guy's name, but he's now big in the Oak Island mystery. And I was on the show a couple times. It's no longer on the air. It was on the Oprah Network, which is also no longer on the air. But I had done a couple miracle investigations, and this guy, a guy named Armando Cordoba, had seen me on TV investigating miracles, and he reached out to me, and he said, and he lived here. I live in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and he was also here, and he reached out and said, hey, you know, I saw you investigating miracles. Would you be interested in hearing about my miracle? And I said, absolutely. You don't have to ask me twice. So as it turns out, he lived here in my home city, and I exchanged a couple emails with him and a couple phone calls, and I went and visited him and his lovely wife, who made excellent tamales and enchiladas for us. And he told me the story, and I won't go into too much detail because it's sort of an involved story, and again it's mentioned in my Mysterious New Mexico book. But he told me this story about how shortly after he'd gotten out of the army in 1954, he was discharged, and he had a wood fireplace, and there was some kerosene on the wood, and it exploded. And he said that he was badly burned, just this flash fire, and just burns all over him, and he was rushed to the emergency room in the hospital, where he stayed for several days. And then after the timeline's a little fuzzy, and that's part of the problem.
Okay, but, ladies and gentlemen, this next statement is not fuzzy. Gene Randall and Ben, you're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The FBI and the ATF are searching properties in suburban Nashville connected to a person of interest in their investigation into Friday's explosion in downtown Nashville. Authorities are searching properties in Antioch, Tennessee, connected with a person of interest, but agents say they are not prepared to name any suspects. Investigators are also digging into questions of a motive for the blast and try to figure out why someone would blow up an RV after warning people to stay back, as well as why they chose the location in downtown Nashville to explode a bomb. FBI Special Agent in Charge Doug Kordesky says that during their investigation, they found no indications of any additional threats to the city.
The first thing I want to reiterate is that we have no indication of additional explosive threats. No other explosive devices were discovered during the area during our secondary sweep yesterday.
This is USA Radio News. Questions about California Congressman Eric Swalwell and his involvement with an alleged Chinese spy continued to swirl, along with calls for his removal from the House Intelligence Committee. Congressman Brad Wenstrup is also asking if House Speaker Nancy Pelosi knew about Swalwell's past relationship with the Chinese national when she named him to the committee. The Ohio Republican tells Fox News that he has questions for the FBI as well.
Of course we want to know what Pelosi knew and when, and want to know why she would choose to put him on this committee when she's got hundreds of people to choose from. A lot of people want to get on this committee. It seems to me that he should be disregarded from the beginning because of this past, if she knew about it. Same with Adam Schiff knowing about it. But beyond that, I also have some concerns with the FBI. If the FBI went to Eric Swalwell and told him about this and knew of this woman, why was she never arrested? And why did the FBI basically just sweep this under the carpet?
This is USA Radio News.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
This is Big the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio, exactly according to my plan.
All right, from clarity to fuzzy logic or somewhere in between. Ben Radford, go on, please.
Yeah, so this guy Armando Amon Cordoba contacted me, and he was wanting to tell me his story about how he was healed. And he had been discharged from the Army, and he was a victim of a fire. Apparently a pretty bad fire, according to him. And after a stay in the hospital, he decided that he'd had enough of this and these doctors, and he wanted to go to Chimayo, this holy shrine not too far from where he was. He told his wife, you know, I need to go there. I'm a devout Catholic, and, you know, I'm going to use God to heal me. And sure enough, they drove, according to him, he looked like a mummy bandaged in cars driving from the hospital to Chimayo. And people were just astonished as this bandaged man undid his bandages in front of everybody and rubbed dirt on his wounds. And he told me that soon thereafter he was healed, and that the burns had vanished, and the doctors were just astonished at the miracle that had happened.
And were you able to verify any of that?
Unfortunately, no. The problem was that, again, this has happened in 1954. And I didn't have access to medical records because, of course, they're private. He would have to access them. I couldn't independently do that. And so I asked him, I said, okay, I'm fascinated by your story. I'm taking down details. I need you to provide me with some evidence. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong or lying. I need something to work with. So I said, you know, this is an interesting story. I need you to do some legwork for me because I can't do it. And he got back to me a couple weeks later saying that, unfortunately, the medical records weren't available because it had been so long. So he really had nothing he had no way to demonstrate what had happened.
So, in other words, it just became some, you know, an urban myth, pretty much. You know, that's about all that is.
Well, there's a little bit more to it, the story, because I had managed to piece together even though he couldn't provide me with the medical records that I would need to verify that it was a miracle, you know, you need a before and after, obviously. So I was hoping to find medical records where his doctor said, this is amazing, you know, last week he had, you know, third degree burns and now he's fine now, but nothing like that. But instead I was able to piece together what he claimed had happened. So again, he'd said that this all happened when he had thrown kerosene on a wooden fire. And his wife, Antonia was there at the time, and, you know, she's confirming a lot of this. Now, granted, it was, you know, some 40 some years later, but it was pretty clear from their descriptions that he was burned in what's called a flash fire. And a flash fire is just basically a quick explosion of something that just, you know, it's a quick flash. It's not a sustained burn. And so because he said it's specifically kerosene, I investigated the burning properties of kerosene. I consulted physicists and people at the California Institute of Technology, and I discovered that what he had used does not cause it can, but based on what he described, it does not cause serious burns. So he probably had first degree burns that were over the telling exaggerated over the years. And so in other words, his burns were probably first degree burns and they weren't as serious as he remembered them being. And so therefore the miracle dirt probably didn't do much.
If that makes sense. That makes perfect sense, actually. There's a couple more interesting ones in here, and sorry if I'm being a little bit self-serving here, but I'm also one of those victims of COVID-19 lockdown relationship breakup. So I just happened to notice, is this eHarmony, the non-science of eHarmony, the actual dating site you're talking about here?
It is indeed.
We got to talk about that. So for all the people out there who are single and looking, tell us some more about that.
So the eHarmony story. So that was a fun one to do. I had actually, I used to be a writer for Discovery News for many years. I'm no longer anymore. But one of the things I looked into was whether eHarmony's claims were scientific. Because eHarmony, it's one of the world's best known dating sites. And according to their ads, no longer anymore, and I'll get to that in a minute, but their ads and promotion was heavily touting their so-called scientific matching system. So if you looked on their website, they refer to science and scientific matching and all sorts of scientific claims, compatibility tests, and so on. But I looked into it, and I didn't really see they kept saying this is based in science, but I didn't see it on the website, and I didn't. There was no references to any peer-reviewed studies showing this. That's not to say that it can't be scientific. I mean, certainly, you know, you can apply scientific methods to personality tests, to matching, relationships, and so on. So I didn't necessarily doubt that there was some science behind it. I just wasn't seeing it, and they didn't provide it. And so I contacted the media contact for eHarmony, and I said, yeah, hi, I'm interested in what you have here. Can you show me, you know, what scientific studies have been done showing that eHarmony's matching system is more scientific or more accurate or more likely to result in positive relationships or marriages or whatever else than any other matching system, right? Because there's lots of different systems. And the director of communications, a guy named Paul Breton, responded, and he did a data dump. And you guys know what a data dump is, right? So he said, yes, thanks for asking. Read all this. And so
right,
I said,
get that Gallup-ish.
Exactly. So So he sends me this five-page boilerplate, telling me about how wonderful eHarmony is. And then at the very end, he included, I think it was six studies. He's like, the requested documentation is available. Thanks for asking. I'm like, all right. So I opened them up, and look, I know how to read journal articles. I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but I do know how to read journal articles and scientific journal articles. And I quickly recognized that there was nothing in what he sent me that addressed my question. My question was specifically, what is the scientific basis upon which you're saying that eHarmony is scientific or, you know, has proven to be more effective at matching couples than others? He gave me nothing of that. And so I wrote back to him. I said, I hate to bother you, but you've not given me what I asked for. And he said, well, it's private information. I said, well, no, it's not. I said, there may be proprietary information. So if you have some algorithm, I'm not demanding to see the code in your matching system. You're promoting your product, eHarmony service, as being scientific and the result of scientific experiments and tests and studies. Where are they? And so we got this sort of, at times, rather snippy back and forth. And finally, he stopped answering my emails because they were unable to demonstrate any like that. And so the rejoinder to the story is.
So you were ghosted by
I was ghosted by eHarmony, of all people, right? Me, right? And so. But I got my comeuppance, if you will.
Okay.
We're going to come up with some announcements now, speaking of comeuppances. Is that a plural? Comeuppances.
Come up.
Somebody's going to say that's not really a word. I just made up a word to fill time before we have to break. But we'll hear about eHarmony and a lot more. I don't know why. Then, you know, they have a paranormal dating service, too, by the way, that we hear ads for on this show, but we don't get paid for it. More to come with Ben, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I'm Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder and director of Front Sight Firearms Training Institute and TrumpsArmy.us. Are you willing to stand with President Trump and the U.S. armed forces he commands to help defend the office of the president, the streets of America, and the U.S. Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic? Then go to TrumpsArmy.us and allow me to reward you for your patriotism as only I can. TrumpsArmy.us. We are Trump's citizen patriots. TrumpsArmy.us.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices. Our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
Now, I know that this is a very naive thing to say, Ben Radford, with regard to any dating service claiming their methods are scientific, and that is, isn't there such a thing as false advertising?
What? False advertising. Oh, yeah, it's such a thorny question that I'm not legally going to answer. However... I can tell you that eHarmony was actually banned in 2018 from making claims that their matching system was scientifically proven.
Interesting. How does that happen? Who bans them? Like the FCC or something? Or
well, in this particular case, no, it's a good question. In this particular case, it was in Britain. The British Advertising Standards Authority, the ASA, has authority over advertisements, as the name implies. And there were complaints, including by me, that eHarmony system was not, in fact, scientifically validated. And they were asked to provide evidence that their matching system was validated, and they did not. And therefore, ever since 2018, certainly in the UK, I don't know about here in the States, but in the UK, advertising by eHarmony saying that their process is scientifically validated has been banned, and they agreed to change their advertising.
Interesting. Well, this leads right into another topic that's in the health and medicine section. And just a brief aside before we get into that. We're talking about a lot of pseudoscience here. Now,
let me just interrupt here. I'm looking at the eHarmony site.
Okay.
Now, I don't see anything about science.
Well,
it says they claim they've helped millions of couples find love. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Every 14 minutes, someone finds love on eHarmony. Highest quality dating pool. But I don't see anything saying science on their homepage anymore.
I'm glad to hear that. I can tell you that as of the time of my initial research into this, in fact, I'm looking at it right now, there was a page saying eHarmony, quote, scientific matchmaking. So clearly, again, I haven't been on the eHarmony site for a while now. If there is not currently references to science and science-based validity, it's because they've removed it, and possibly because of some of my articles.
Well, look, related to all of that, of course, would be the kind of tests that they put people through or questionnaires. They're like surveys. To me, the first thing that goes off in my mind is someone who's been on the internet for quite a few years and built websites and stuff is, you know, I worry about phishing scams, but, the pseudoscience of personalysis.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because I'm sure that this is part of what they would consider their scientific methodology.
Yes. So the personalysis case is pretty interesting. And like I said, part of my background is in psychology, and you know, there's lots of pseudoscience in psychology, unfortunately. Even one of the most famous personality tests, the MMPI, this is the one where you have, you know, different letters, INTJ, intelligent, judging, feeling, they have different
right.
actions.
Yeah.
There's little or no validity to it. It's sort of the Barnum effect, right? People, if you tell people what they're, it's like astrology, right? You tell people, well, you know, you're sometimes brave, but other times cautious. You know, you know, okay, you know,
yeah. They're right on the money there.
Right. You're pretty smart, but you sometimes make dumb mistakes and so on. Yeah, of course, that applies to everybody. And that's one reason why. You know, if you if you look at the Barnum effect, and there's been cases where people will, and this is a common experiment that I've seen happen several times, where someone will they'll distribute to a classroom of students different astrological readings based allegedly on their sign, and they say, okay, well, before class, all of you told us what your sun sign is, Taurus, Virgo, Libra, what have you. Open up the envelope and, you know, raise your hand if you think this fits you. And usually 80 to 90% of people raise their hand saying this fits. Yes, my God, you got it just right. And then, of course, the reveal is, well, this was random.
Exactly. It could fit anyone. Well, that's kind of funny because one of the little games we sometimes would play at while we were having a coffee out or something, we'd pick up the paper and we'd go directly to the horoscope section. And then we'd read one and then we would say, okay, now is that yours or isn't it yours? And to see if we could guess which one, you know, if it fit, if it was the right one. So that is a really fun kind of little game to play. But what about when you get into these, you know, these long questionnaires? Might it not be fair to say, well, if someone is more prone to making decisions based on emotions and how they feel than something like critical thinking, that you could determine that depending on the way that they answer those kinds of tests?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I wouldn't suggest that all personality assessments are pseudoscience, because they're not. I mean, there's validity to them. The real problem is when you take that too far, when people exaggerate what it means, and it also exaggerate the different types of validity, right? So if you're familiar with research design, you know, there's different types of validity. There's internal validity. There's external validity. This is, for example, generalizability. So, you know, if you find some specific outcome in some experiment among, say, 20 college students in Topeka, Kansas, is that representative of the general population of adults that are non-college students that are in California or Boston or Wisconsin or Toronto, right?
Right.
And so there are lots of different angles to it. And so, just to be clear, I'm not suggesting that it's all pseudoscience. The problem is that oftentimes the pseudoscientific methods are lumped together and indistinguishable from the less validated ones.
That is a really interesting point, and it's what I wanted to bring up a little earlier when I mentioned that I had a little bit of an aside. And this has been a little bit of a bone I've had to pick with some of the skeptics over the years when it comes to ufology. And I know that you have said that you're not really is focused on ufology, but one of the points I would make when debating with some of the skeptics is that, well, here we have a whole field. Ufology is a very wide field. Not all of it even deals with science. Close Encounters of the Third Kind is a cultural example of part of the field that has to do with entertainment.
Sure.
And so we can look at that in a very objective way and say, well, this is how the film is done. This is what it was based on. This is the source material that it came from and so on. And we can look at that. And therefore, you know, you wouldn't even think of labeling it pseudoscience because it's not really
in that ballpark. And
right.
Yet,
it's not claimed to be science.
Right. But it is part of ufology overall. So I would make these points and I would say, okay, well, look, you can't label ufology as a pseudoscience because it just doesn't all fall into that category. Yes, some of it does cloud busting and this and that. And sure, it's got its fair share of it. But then I would say, so does medicine. And this is proof of it here. And I went and found some statistics on it. And there were thousands of papers that have been retracted. The field is rife with frauds. And yet nobody says medicine is a pseudoscience, right? So there's this labeling thing that I don't think is really fair going on with ufology to some degree.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I do. I've never considered ufology to be inherently pseudoscientific. I mean, there may be some prominent skeptics who do, and that's fine. I personally agree with you. Some parts of it are pseudoscientific, other parts aren't. It depends on how you approach it.
Exactly. Just like medicine. It can be the same. Hey, Gene, I think we just struck a win here. I think we got one. This sounds good.
Break it down. Well, no, I mean, look.
Okay, wait a minute. Medicine is pseudoscience. Well, therefore, shouldn't I call the witch doctor?
Oh.
Yeah, you know, there was a song back in the 50s by David Seville. Of course, he created the Chipmunks called Witch Doctor. Okay, so that's our answer there, is we need to call the shaman, the witch doctor, and see if they're better than anything else. Then again, you know, I've been to a number of doctors over the years, and medical science more or less works for most people. There are always exceptions. So I don't know if we call it pseudoscience, unless you really have a bad average. Before we discuss that, though, we must do our break. We have no choice but to listen. Ben, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.